Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Let's welcome Jenna Fink, who is covering the national championship in the Final Four for KVOA News 4 in Tucson. Jenna, what was your perspective as the confetti was falling on this college basketball season?
Hey, Amy, thanks so much for having me on. Yeah, I mean, what a game. I think that was the reaction that everyone had here, just the dominance of UConn to win back-to-back national titles and to do so by winning by double digits. It was really cool, you know, just seeing all the confetti falling and the Husky faithful cheering them on.
At what point did UConn get its teeth sunk in and pull away?
I think there was a couple of key plays by Tristan Newton at the end of the first half, in that point in the first half. And then in the second half, they quietly really went up by like 8. And then there was another Tristan Newton play there. And you're like, okay, they're up by double digits now. Like, they're kind of pulling away from this. And it never really got close again. I mean, UConn totally shut down everyone on Purdue except for Zach Edey, and that was the game plan. I mean, I had talked to a couple of the players in the locker room afterward, and they said they were focusing on limiting the role players. They knew Zach Edey was going to go off, so they just wanted to shut everyone else down, and that's what they did. The defense especially stood out to me in the second half.
Yeah, it's interesting that that would be the game plan. You know Zach Edey is going to do what he does. Yeah. In fact, if you could waste a lot of energy trying to limit him, you could use up a bunch of fouls, you can run bodies at him. Ultimately, he's still the strongest and one of the most talented on the court. So you don't let him have anything easy. You make him work for it, but you're not going to be able to shut him down. And what UConn did on the perimeter in limiting Purdue's looks at the hoop was impressive.
It definitely was, because it also was going to come down to role players for Purdue. They needed to have guys that heated up from behind the arc, and they didn't. They only had 6 three-point attempts and then also only made one of them. So, you know, they did. UConn, props to them, did a really good job of limiting what Purdue could do from deep.
What did it sound like in terms of the fan support for Purdue versus UConn?
Yeah, it was, I would say I was very impressed with Purdue's how well the fans traveled all game, even in the Final Four game against NC State. It was majority Purdue fans, and I would say it was the same tonight. I mean, the Boilermaker fans traveled very well. We were speaking with a lot of them pregame. I think one of the stark images that stood out to me was pregame. We got there about 5 hours before tip, so like 1:30 Arizona time, and the line of students lined up outside to get in. Some of them had been there since 5:30 in the morning. So
Whoa.
The dedication was strong, no doubt about that. They were ready to go. So I would definitely say it was impressive how the showing that Purdue had.
And it's not even spring break anymore. Spring break is long past.
It's dedication. A couple of the students told me they had the tickets booked even before the win over Tennessee.
Wow.
So they were ready to go. They were really hopeful. And then, of course, after that, they were just hoping the professors would actually let them leave.
Jenna Fink is with us from Glendale, where UConn becomes a repeat national champ, first one since 06-07. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. One of my favorite things about covering the Final Four, I guess mine was in 2016, was the star power. There's people just milling around, wandering around, mm-hmm. especially if you have a press credential. Some of them come through kind of the bowels of the stadium. I know there were a lot of former UConn players there, but who did you run into that that kind of surprised you?
I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I don't know if there was any one person that I had like a, oh my gosh, I can't believe I saw them. But like you said, there are so many just media members, people that you hear on the radio, that you watch on TV, that you're shoulder to shoulder with. And you're like, okay, like this is the big leagues. You know what I mean? So that was really cool. I did get to have a conversation with Ian Eagle on a couple of the games ago. He's a fellow Syracuse alum like myself, so
yes.
It's always good to get to connect there. But yeah, I think that's one of the biggest things. It's the biggest stage, and you know, there's a ton of former athletes here, like you mentioned, and it's just a really, really surreal experience to be able to watch it and cover it.
So, Jenna, you may not believe this, but I'm actually on the campus of Syracuse right now doing my show from Newhouse.
Oh, that's awesome. I love it.
Yeah,
I heard a little bit in the intro, and I was like, "Oh, I think she's on campus. I love that." So,
yes,
gotta get yourself some varsity pizza.
Well, of course,
and hopefully the weather isn't too cold. I know it's April, but you never know. It still snowed in April when I was there. So,
yeah, well, it snowed on my graduation day when I was here eons ago. So, yes, I do remember that. But no, it was actually really nice. Everyone was outside on the quad today for the solar eclipse, and so I was out there in a t-shirt, a short sleeve. So it was actually really nice.
You can't
for
ask
April.
For much better than that.
Exactly. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio with Jenna Fink, who covered the national championship in Arizona. Why do you think Glendale makes such a perfect venue for so many of these big events?
It's such a nice, it's like a very new city. There's so much going on. I mean, just steps away from the stadium, I mean, you have all these restaurants and all these other things for fans to do. And I think, like you said, they have experience. They hosted the Super Bowl here 2 years ago, so they have experience with the big events. And it's also just a place that people want to come. The weather is nice. I mean, it was 75 degrees and not a cloud in the sky today. So that makes, you know, people want to be outside. People want to go to restaurants, want to go to bars. So it just makes it a really, you know, kind of a destination in a way, because the weather is so nice and there's so much to do down here.
And how about the access to the stadium? Because a lot of times that matters, that people don't have to sit in traffic, or they can stay nearby and they can walk.
Yeah, the traffic, I think we had myself a little bit of trouble on the Final Four day getting in, just because they limited off a couple of the ways you could get into the parking. But in general, I think it's very accessible because, you know, it is an NFL stadium, like all the Final Four games are played. But it's, you know, a lot of parking. They make it easy for you to get in and out. They label it well, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, besides the one day, we didn't have any trouble the rest of the time. So it was pretty good. And like you said, it makes it easier when it's not raining or not cold. It's nice and people are willing to walk and willing to be outside.
UConn and Purdue, obviously a major story with the two one seeds that battled. But how much buzz was there in Arizona for what happened in Cleveland with South Carolina and Iowa and Caitlin Clark and the end of her career?
Yeah, no, the buzz was definitely palpable. I mean, even in the days leading up to the Final Four game, so on Thursday and Friday here, people were asking questions about that. You know, players were answering questions about Caitlin Clark and the run that she's had over her career, and those were questions that were focal points for people's storylines here. The games, you know, we were all glued to the TV on yesterday watching that game, even though we're all doing other jobs too. We're covering the men's tournament, but we're all locked into the women's tournament. So I definitely think there was a buzz just about how much it's grown and how much it has, the sport of women's basketball has grown. So I think you could definitely feel, you know, the buzz this year.
Well, what did they have to say about Caitlin Clark and about the women's basketball kind of groundswell?
I was laughing because one of the players, I forget who it was at this point, you know, it's been a long weekend, but one of the players someone said, oh, what do you have to say to Caitlin Clark and Iowa? And, you know, like wishing them good luck. And the player's like, oh, she doesn't need any luck from me. You know, so I think it was just kind of funny. They all know, you know, what she's been able to accomplish. And they recognize that she is at the highest level, you know, of college hoops. And so I think it was just funny that that moment of brevity where it's just like, you know, we don't need to wish her luck. She doesn't, you know, she's just as good. She doesn't need any of that from us.
I love that it made its way from Cleveland to Arizona, and there were plenty of the men's, not just the men's players, but I'm sure coaches and everybody paying attention. And the way they straddled the games and the Final Fours these last couple of years has been great, too. Jenna Fink is with
the women have their moment.
Yes. Jenna Fink is with us from the desert after college basketball played its last game. Well, if you don't mind, before I let you go, what has it been like for you to cover a Final Four?
Yeah, it's been everything I could have asked for and more. This is my first time getting to cover a Final Four. I've covered March Madness a couple of times, but before it was here, the teams that I covered, so Syracuse in 2021, they didn't make it. They lost in the Sweet 16 that year. And then Arizona, you know, didn't make it. But the fact that we were able to cover it here was just such a cool experience. I mean, the fans just sitting pregame, like listening to the player introductions, I got chills just like listening to that. I think that was my moment of like, wow, I'm really here. So, you know, all in all, just a great experience and hopefully the first of many.
Well, congratulations on having that. Certainly is one that can give you confidence moving forward with other events. You can find Jenna on Twitter at Jenna M. Fink, F-I-N-K, an anchor, a storyteller for KVOA in Tucson, getting a chance to cover the Final Four and give us the lay of the land. And I hope you don't have confetti in your hair. Or if you do, I hope you keep it because that's kind of fun.
I have it in my pocket, a unhealthy amount of confetti that is in my pocket currently. We'll put it next to the credential in some way, but yeah, no, not in my hair, thankfully.
Well, that's awesome. I'm glad you had fun. Jenna, thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Thank you so much for having me on.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen as Selenia tells us why she chose to vaccinate her daughter.
I definitely felt like the pros far outweighed the cons. The diseases that I am protecting my child against, they're still here. And at the end of the day, it's my job as a mother to keep my child safe.
Talk to your child's doctor and learn more at whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.